Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You're listening to Sports Talk Mississippi On Demand, presented by Pearl River Resort. Escape to Choctaw, Mississippi and enjoy world-class gaming, the Dancing Rabbit Golf Club, and Geyser Falls Water Park. Escape to Pearl River Resort. From D2 to D3.
Summer, spring, and fall, we cover the sports and we cover them all.
With JT Mitchell.
Best in sports.
Full reports.
Listen here.
Throughout the year.
All right, welcome into the show. This is From D2 to D3. I'm your host, JT Mitchell, and the clock is ticking on the regular season as playoffs are now less than 1 month away for college football. We're going to get into that and more. As always, this episode of From D2 to D3 is brought to you by Eves Law Firm. I hope you guys, I pray you guys, have been flooding their phone lines week in and week out with new business. If you haven't, call them now at 601-355-7961. These guys are the real deal. I tell you that all the time. They're not just your attorney billboard guys who take in a bunch of cases and then settle cheap. Eves Law Firm is absolutely the place for you. If you're in need of an attorney, you never know. Call them now, 601-355-7961. And if you want to be part of From D2 to D3, you can text or call at 601-502-5451. That's 601-502-5451. Be part of this. Be part of what we've got going on covering Division II and Division III sports across the Magnolia State today. So what we'll do today is we'll keep it short and sweet as always and have you as up to date as possible going into another weekend of college football. For the second part of the show, we'll welcome in Corey Gwynn, who covers the Gulf South Conference for D2Football.com. He'll join us and kind of give us an update on what Delta State's chances are to make the playoffs now that they do have a loss on their record. And if you don't read D2Football.com, man, I tell you, consume this product any way you can. You can go to their website. You can listen to their podcast. I, of course, think that this show you're listening to now and everything on supertalk.fm is the best place to go if you want Mississippi oriented D2 coverage. But if you want D2 coverage on the national scene, d2football.com is a great source to have. So stay tuned for that conversation with Corey Gwynn coming up in just a little while. But as for where we are now, we're 3 weeks away from the close of the regular season on both D2 and D3 on both of those levels. The big story from this past weekend, unfortunately, was that Delta State did fall to West Florida in what was a heartbreaker, 24-21. I don't know if you watched the game. It was one of Flow Sports's weekly games that they provide for free on all of their socials. They choose a couple games each week and do that. It's pretty neat, but the only thing that would have made it neater is if Delta State could have come away with the win. It was looking good for the Statesmen throughout the first half. Of course, a little iffy on that second drive of the game when the Argos got on the board first, but then Delta State bounced back. Patrick Shegog was able to find the Jalens, Jalen Green and Jalen May, on touchdowns to take a second quarter lead. The Argos then hit a chip shot field goal. The Statesmen responded, another touchdown. Scores at 21-10 after Tyson Gray was able to pull in that last touchdown. That was the halftime score, but then the second half. A half that Delta State, they probably wish they could have back. And I'm not going to lie, West Florida looked like a completely different team when they came out of the locker room. Quarterback Pee Wee Jarrett, what a name by the way, and company came out and played some really clean football. Jarrett hit John Giles for a touchdown in the third that pulled within one possession, 21-17. And we may can cover this on a later episode. Giles' story is actually pretty interesting in itself. himself. He was actually picked up by the BC Lions of the Canadian Football League when he was coming out of community college. That was January of 2020. But then, as you know, everything hit the fan around the globe. Some things happened, I'm sure a lot pandemic related. And Giles ended up back in college at West Florida, and he scored another touchdown in the fourth, and that gave the Orgos the 24-21 lead, which is a score that would stick, as the Statesman offense just could not, they were just stagnant for the rest of the game. So both of those teams now have one loss on the GSC side of things, with West Florida having the tiebreaker from after last week's win. That game really could have decided the Gulf South Conference champion this season. Nevertheless, I imagine both teams will finish out strong. I think both will end up in the playoffs, but we'll ask Corey Gwynn what he thinks later on in the show. One takeaway that I did notice was that Shegog, while he did end up with pretty good stats, his completion percentage, he just wasn't very accurate. You know, terribly inaccurate on the day, went 13 of 33 passing, just under 40% in terms of completion percentage. He was missing guys up high in the first half. I don't really know what was going on there. From what I remember, I don't think West Florida had a single sack, so I'm not sure if pressure is to blame. It was just an off day for Shegog's accuracy. Actually, looking here, it was his worst completion percentage in a real game, a game that he started, got a lot of playing time in, since Jackson State in 2021. He was under that 39% mark in that game. But Shegog and the rest of the Statesmen will all get a breather this weekend, hopefully recoup, and just get ready for the final two games. Win out and let's see what happens. The loss now drops Delta State from number 5 to number 16 in the AFCA coaches poll, and from number 6 to number 16 in D2 football's poll. So a big loss, obviously. You can tell in the slide in rankings. But two games left, Coach Cooley said on Twitter afterward that the season's not lost. We just got to do what we can, win out, and see what happens. Hopefully catch heat if they are selected for the Division II playoffs. As for Delta State's in-state rival, Mississippi College, the Choctaws did get back in the win column. They took down Chauwan at home 38-21. No brawls to report on, so all good there. And the Choctaws, they really needed this. Their record, which is now 3-4, doesn't necessarily reflect the talent they have on that team, especially when you're talking about guys that can run the ball. Marcus Williams was my player of the game, 110 yards, a touchdown on the ground, but the sticking point was a huge 95-yard kick return touchdown in the fourth quarter, and the game was still close at that point. They needed that kickoff return, and it was big, so props to him. The Choctaws will be back in action this weekend against what I think is a very beatable North Greenville team. That game is on the road with a 1 o'clock kickoff time. Moving down to the D3 side of things, Belhaven continues to roll. No surprise there. Like I've been preaching since the beginning of the year, even before the year, this is a playoff caliber team. Get that in your head. They just got to win these next three games and get ready for what should be the program's first ever playoff appearance. But is this team good enough to make a Stag Bowl run? I think they're good enough to make the playoffs. Stag Bowl run, I'm not sure. That game's returning to Salem this year. It's really hard to make. There's a lot of talent across D3, but Belhaven is a really good team. Still shocked they're not top 25, but I'm not a voter on any of those polls, so my opinion, I guess, really doesn't count. I'm sure hoping that once they do get to the playoffs, as I predict, they will make a run. I mean, how fun would that be to cover them in a deep run in the Division III playoffs? On Saturday, in their homecoming game against Methodist, ain't nothing but a thing. The Blazers gave the crowd a 45-10 show. Big games from quarterback Tim Johnson and, of course, Colby Blunt. That's a name you have probably already heard a lot this season, and I suspect you'll probably hear his name for years to come. I do think that he'll get a shot at making an NFL roster, and I firmly believe he might just make it. Johnson went 12 of 20 through the air, 231 yards, a touchdown. while Colby Blunt, his sixth game in a row, eclipsing the 100-yard mark with 101 net and three touchdowns. The Blazers will be back in action this weekend at Maryville, 12 o'clock kickoff there. I watched the Scots a couple of games early on in the season when they were taking on SAA teams, and they're not bad. I think that Belhaven will beat them, but this is not a team to sleep on. Belhaven will need to bring their A game, get things rolling, and keep the season perfect when they go to the Volunteer State. Millsaps, on the other hand, man, it just does not look good for the majors. They dropped their homecoming game 59-20 to Center. They're now 1-7 on the year. Freshman quarterback Gray Jennings continues to play well, 295 yards and three touchdowns. Tamias Mason continues a big year as well, six receptions for 93 yards, but overall just not looking good for Millsaps. And the schedule doesn't get any easier this week as they travel to number 6 Trinity, but maybe, just maybe, in the last week of the year, they will welcome a pretty bad Southwestern team. Both of these teams have the same win on the season. They each just have one win against Birmingham Southern. So maybe Millsaps will end the year on a high note and go 2-8 when all is said and done. Before we get over to Corey Gwynn, one story that I don't think we're going to have time to ask him is about Tyson Bagent. If you've been watching NFL this year, and you might not even be a D2 fan, but if you're an NFL fan, you've probably heard that name. The D2 product out of Shepherd recently stepped in for an injured Justin Fields and just gave the Bears what they needed. He led them to their second win of the season, 30-13 over the Raiders. And Bagent just could not have been more of a lightning rod. He was confident, clean, played really high-level football. He went 21 of 29, 162 yards, one touchdown, no turnovers. He also made some big plays with his feet, whether that was buying himself some extra time to throw or just running for a few first downs here and there. And his confidence, man, I mean, he had Soldier Field on fire. There was one play he ran for a first down, got up, and kind of did a little Money Manziel to the crowd. It was more of like, give me what you got. Let's get loud, Soldier Field. If he keeps playing like this, there might be a new starter in Chicago, and his name won't be Justin Fields. Who knows, though? Bagent Mania? Is that going to be a thing? We'll see. They'll play a much better team this weekend when they go against the Chargers, and Bagent will be getting that start from what I'm hearing. So just really good to see that coming from a D2 guy. All right, so let's take a quick break. And on the other side, we'll welcome in Corey Gwynn of D2Football.com. We'll see you in a sec.
Do you ever struggle with me or I, or maybe further and farther? That's okay. We all do, because the English language isn't easy, but we have the perfect solution for you. Pocket Grammar, 24 Mistakes You'll Never Make Again, is your new sidekick to making sure that those mistakes don't happen. From memorable pro tips to fun visuals, Pocket Grammar is for everyone. Whether you're a student, a professional writer, or just want to make sure that those Facebook posts you're putting out there every day are grammatically correct, Pocket Grammar is for you. Go to www.thepocketgrammar.com today. That's thepocketgrammar.com to get yours now.
We're back with From D2 to D3. I'm your host, JT Mitchell, and we now head to the phone line to catch up with Corey Gwynn. Corey covers the Gulf South Conference for D2Football.com. Corey, what's going on, man?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, making it. Football is in full force, as you know. 2 weeks ago, all the talk around here was cautiously optimistic. You know, a lot of people thought Delta State might achieve their first undefeated regular season since 1954. I think that's the correct date. But then, as we all know, a pissed off West Florida team came into Cleveland and found the upset. Obviously, both teams are very good. What were your thoughts on the game?
I think pissed off is a great way to describe that West Florida team, especially based on their performance the previous game with West Alabama, when I think nobody certainly expected that to happen. But West Florida came into town. Obviously, you know, they had something to prove. And, we knew it was going to be a shootout, as both offenses are two of the best in the country, not just the conference. And I think West Florida's defense did just enough to hold Delta State to 21 points, which nobody has been able to do in over the past two seasons. And so, you know, in the Gulf South, there's parity from top to bottom, well, almost top to bottom, every week. And so I think we saw it last week, and who knows, we may even see these two teams match up again in the postseason as we have in years past.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because yes, Delta State didn't win, but it wasn't, you know, this earth-shattering shocker for West Florida to get the win. We saw what happened last year where Delta State got the regular season win. They were crowned conference champions, but then they met up again in the playoffs and the Argos got the best of them. Can you put our listeners at ease maybe a little bit here? Do you still foresee both teams making the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it's one of those to where we see, you know, year in, year out. The Gulf South has two, if not three, teams in the postseason. And, you know, the regional rankings that recently came out earlier this week have Delta State, West Florida, and even Valdosta State in there. So nothing to worry about. You know, you'd rather get that loss now than in the postseason. So Delta State, they have a history as a coaching staff of making adjustments. So maybe we'll see the reversal of last year's you know, regular season win and postseason win, and the statesmen will be on the good side of that one.
And I think fans would be much happier with that one. Option B is better than option A. And I did see that bracketology report that you were talking about with Val State also in there. I thought that was interesting. But regarding West Florida and Delta State, both really stout teams, which one would you be less surprised if they made a deep run in the playoffs?
That's kind of a thought to make, right? Because West Florida's been doing it most recently, but Delta State has the history of doing it. I think if you just take 2023 for what it is, you know, forget the loss last week when they matched up. Delta State has been the more consistent teams in terms of the offense doing what it does and the defense doing what it does, right? West Florida, they've been up, they've been down. They've only scored 6 points against West Alabama, which, you know, their offense doesn't do that often, but now there's film of how to stop them on offense. There's still no real tape of how to stop the Statesmen, because even last week, they still scored 21. Shrog had his three touchdowns. They still did everything right when you look at it on paper outside of the offense not producing as high. So I think Delta State, you know, just in terms of 2023 and taking it for what it is, they are the more consistent team. And last week, really, one or two plays and the score could be easily reversed.
Yeah, and on this show, we're huge proponents of Patrick Shegog. We love Patrick Shegog, but I have to say, just with what my occupation is, I thought one of the big differences last week was he had one of his most inaccurate games in a long time, 13 of 33. That, you know, that could have been the game changer if he didn't miss some of those receivers up high.
Right, right. And I think the best thing for Delta State, like I said earlier, you want to get that loss out of the way if you're going to get it. And on the flip side of that, they also have a bye week this week. So now they've got even more time to right those wrongs. For whatever reason it was for him to have that many incompletions, we know it's not the norm. He had an off week. West Florida may have done some things differently that he's seen. But, yeah, I think the bye week comes at a great time too, because you want to have a short memory in college football, but it's also okay to stew on it a little bit. Because now, you know, they've got to finish out the regular season, and then hopefully you've got a pissed off Delta State team going into the playoffs with something to prove. And I don't think Shegog will let that happen again.
I don't either, and I agree that I think the bye week, it should be a good breather. It comes at a perfect time. I don't think there's a better time for it to have come than Delta State has two games, West Georgia and Mississippi College. Are you in the same boat as me, as Delta State will probably win out and then hope for the best when it comes to selections for the playoffs and then hopefully catch some heat, make a deep run? Do you think they'll win out?
Yeah, they should. Right, West Georgia, Mississippi College, both of those, top four, top five teams in the conference. You look at the standings, and as I said before, there's parity in the Gulf South. But Mississippi College, for what they are, everybody knows what they are, right? They're going to run the ball, and they're not going to stray from that, even if you're slowing them down. So they're going to have a hard time, you know, making a comeback if and when Delta State does get up early, because they've shown to do that in the first and second quarter this year. And then with West Georgia, I mean, they've been so inconsistent under center that their defense doesn't get a chance to breathe. and their offense has not really shown any consistency, where, as I said earlier, Delta State is one of the most consistent teams in the country. So having this bye week, like you said, they're going to have time to regroup, game plan for these next two. And then, yeah, selection show should show them some love. Strength of schedule is up there with anybody, especially playing in this league. And then who knows what happens this week with West Florida and Valdosta State playing each other. I mean, there's going to be all kinds of wrinkles up until the very last whistle of the regular season.
And I do want to circle back to Mississippi College in a minute.
Yeah.
But since we're on the playoff topic, let's do this for the sake of radio. You're welcome to plead the fifth. It could be a little premature, but do you have a favorite at this point in the season to win it all?
It's tough to say because we've seen top 10 teams lose. We've seen the number one team lose in the country. I think the best thing to me about Division II, right? I've been in it since 08 as a student at a Division II school. I think the best thing is that anybody within reason can win any given week. And luckily, if you want me to pick a team in the Gulf South, I think Delta State does have the best chance.
You're not required to. Well, we might be a Gulf South Conference-oriented show, but you're not required to, man, you know?
Well, it's one of those where I have no problem choosing Delta State as the team out of the Gulf South just for a number of reasons that I've mentioned. But it's so tough to pick out there because you've got teams like Colorado Mines and Grand Valley and Pitt State. They've done it for so long, just like Delta State has. But you get in the playoffs, it just takes one hiccup. You're playing an 8 seed, a 6 seed, even a 4 seed, as we saw with West Florida in the past. There's no telling what can happen in these regions because if you don't stay healthy through it all, there's no guarantees.
That's true. Mines has been really good. Grand Valley as well. There was a heck of a game between those two in week one.
Yeah.
Then we saw Grand Valley handle Ferris State, who had that number one spot secured for a little while at the beginning of the season. You're right, one hiccup away and your season's done. Let's shift gears here a bit. So Mississippi College, it's been pretty underwhelming so far, to say the least. But what makes it so frustrating from my point of view, because I'm tracking each game week in and week out, is that a lot of these losses are now 3-4 in the season. A lot of these losses, they've been up in the third quarter or even the fourth quarter and just let it go late. So the Choctaws, they got back in the win column this past week and against Chawan. What are your thoughts outside of what you've already said regarding you kind of know what they're going to do? What are your thoughts so far on this MC team?
I think it's been a lot of up and down. You said it well, to where they'll start fast, and then the second half just kind of bites them for whatever reason. Last week, on the flip side of that, they won the second half, especially in the fourth quarter. Now, the problem with that is they were playing Chawan, who they shouldn't have gotten that close in the fourth quarter, for my humble opinion. But the last couple of weeks, you've seen Marcus Williams really, find his footing after he started slow to begin the year. So Mississippi College has done a great job of staying with their bread and butter. Now they've got three guys in the backfield who at different points of the season have carried the load. I think for them, they just didn't see that next step forward from John Henry White or whoever you want to talk about under center. They just didn't see that next step forward. And so their defense has been playing relatively well. Their offense is running the ball among the best in D2, as they always do. But it's like you said, it's been underwhelming just because week in, week out, even from quarter to quarter, you don't know which Choctaw team you're getting.
Yeah, and you talk about John Henry White. He was the freshman of the year last year. I think they were expecting him to take a big step forward because before the season, you might have heard this, the head coach, John Bland, he came on our show. He did a couple interviews with other news outlets around the state, and he actually teased us and said that we're going to start passing the ball a little more. They got a new offensive coordinator in town, but now they're the only team that has less than 1,000 yards through the air. They're actually the only team that has less than 2,000 yards through the air in the conference. I thought that's kind of been underwhelming that they have not tried to pass as much.
Yeah, he fooled me on that as well. Just doing my preseason research during the summer at Gulf South Media Day, listening to the different outlets down there. One would assume, right, with Mississippi College and everybody knows they're going to run the ball, at some point they've got to try to throw the ball just to keep defenses honest. But you're right. There's been no semblance of that. For what it's worth, yes, the run game does work for them, and it always has. But to get over that hump, right, to avoid finishing, you know, 5-5, 6-4, 4-6 in that range, they've got to have a little bit more wrinkle to their offense in terms of throwing the ball and getting it out there to the guys out wide to open up even more room for those running backs. So, yeah, no, you're not the only one that heard that story, and shoot, I fell for it.
We all got fooled, but maybe that was in their initial plans. And the triple option, I mean, if you run it to perfection, so hard to stop, but you have to be perfect. I actually used to play under Tommy Laurendine, who was their offensive coordinator 2 years ago before going to the Navy Academy. And as a defensive player growing up, the triple option is not something you want to play against if they have it right.
Yeah, it's one of those where opposing defenses can't simulate it during the week of practice, right? Because they don't run it themselves. They don't have any quarterbacks and running backs that are well-versed in it. So you can practice against the scheme. But when you get into the game and you've got a team like Mississippi College that runs it, we'll call it to perfection because they've done it so long, you can't simulate that speed or the mastery of the scheme in practice. So that's where they do have an advantage relatively every week.
Well, what do they need to do to take the next step if they're going to continue running the triple option? Is it just better talent?
I think it's – so they've got some great running backs, right? We talked about Marcus Williams. Ron Creighton, those guys, and even John Henry White has the skill set. And I'm not saying completely abandon the triple option, but maybe, you know, if they need to, like I said, throw a little wrinkle into their scheme and keep defenses honest with some of those big plays, because ideally you would like the run game to set up the pass game. But it seems like for Mississippi College, it the run game is just the run game, and there's no deviating from that, which in this league, right, when you're playing the Delta States, the West Floridas, the Valdosta States that you play every year, they're going to have enough tape to kind of key in on some of those mismatches and set up things to slow you down.
Yeah, and they did get back in the win column, though, which is good. Maybe they'll continue forward in that. They beat Chawan. I think one of the biggest headlines surrounding that program this year was the brawl in week two against Delta State. I mean, they haven't won a game. That's the biggest headline surrounding Chawan this season. You cover the GSC. Did you think the conference's punishment for them after the brawl was too weak?
It's one of those to where I don't know if the conference, you know, they could have been much, much more strict with their punishment, right? Mainly because there's video evidence. Everybody's seen it on social
media. It was crazy, man.
It's and I can't imagine being there live for that, just because the game was already over. There's no need for, you know, all the mess that came onto the field and that started on the field. That for what the Gulf South did, you know, we'll leave it up to them to determine whether it was right or wrong. But for Chawan, they were already at a disadvantage to start the season coming into this league. And having so many players suspended, having so many players punished, you know, internally, I think we saw some guys that weren't suspended by the league not play the next week as well, or the next 2 weeks. They were just at such a disadvantage coming into the league that certainly didn't do them any favors.
And they're only here in the GSC for a short stop. They're about to move to what's that conference going to be called?
They're going to move to Conference Carolinas, which already exists as a non-football conference. But they're bringing back football. They've had a hiatus for a while. They used to have it, I think, back in the 30s, 40s, or 50s. Forgive me for not getting the exact date range. But, yeah, they're going to start it back with Erskine and Pembroke and Chawan, North Greenville. A much more, I guess, travel-friendly focus of teams that are already in that conference. And their other sports, but their football teams had to find a home. So whether it was the CIAA, Gulf South being independents, now they'll all have a home. And I think, was it 2025?
I think you're correct. And I mean, this just goes to show you that conference realignment is not just a Division I thing. It's happening all over, right? And you got North Greenville leaving, Chawan here for a short time, but leaving. But you also have West Georgia going D1. What did you think about that? Is that going to cause some more dominoes to fall? Maybe like West Florida?
I think when we saw West Georgia make that announcement, I, for one, was shocked just because out of all the schools in the Gulf South, I wouldn't pick them to be the first to go D1. There's been talk in the past about Austin State. People have said West Florida just because of their success that they've had so fast as a relatively young program. But who knows? I mean, we'll see how they replace, how the Gulf South replaces so many teams leaving, because even Shorter is going to join the Conference Carolinas with North Greenville and Chauwan. So there's going to be four schools, right? North Greenville, Shorter, Chauwan, and West Georgia on their way out. And we'll have to see how the Gulf South does replace them, because you can't, in this league, you can't just say, we'll take anybody. You've got to take someone who continues to uphold the integrity of the conference, because Gulf South is known not only for football, but in this context, they're known for football and they're known for putting a good product on the field.
That's what I was going to say, is the Gulf South Conference is incredibly strong for D2, and losing four teams in a short span of time, that's a tough test.
Yeah. And you lose a team like West Georgia, who's always near the top. You lose a team like North Greenville, who they may not be one of the top four teams, but they are competitive and much more competitive than their first year in the Gulf South. Even Shorter, they show flashes on occasion of giving teams headaches, whether it be, you know, in the first half or maybe staging a late game comeback effort. But yeah, you're losing some programs who are still competitive in their non-conference schedule, and then they are competitive with other teams within the conference. So that the Gulf South really has to do their due diligence in who they add. But I don't know who's out there to come on board, because it seems like everybody regionally has a home, or if they're an independent, they don't really add much value to you.
Time will tell, and you'll be the man to cover it, covering the GSC for D2Football.com. Where do you point people to if they want to keep up with all the moving and shaking, of course, game-by-game recaps as well? Where do you point people to?
Yeah, D2Football.com is the best source for it. We try to update the column weekly. We do our weekly previews. Inside that preview is going to be all the links for video, live stats, audio, depending on the game you want. But then, you know, we get into the postseason, we're doing postseason previews, postseason reviews, even in the offseason with the major award winners, the changes within conference realignment, the schedule updates. D2Football.com is going to be really your hub for everything Gulf South and everything D2Football.com. If you're interested in anything outside of the Gulf South, which now that we're coming up on the postseason, you want to start taking a look into those potential second and third round matchups for Delta State and the Statesman.
He's got it right. Super insightful stuff, Corey. We look forward to continuing the conversation. Hopefully not many technical difficulties next time, but great stuff, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me, man. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. And before we close out another episode of From D2 to D3, I want to give you a quick update on the Mississippi College men's soccer team. We caught up with head coach Kevin Johns a couple of weeks ago, and good news, they're still going strong. 11-1-2 on the year with just two games left to play. They're now ranked number 13 in the latest coaches poll and are sitting all by their lonesome at the top of the GSC. We also have basketball season coming up, so make sure to tune in on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Supertalk.fm, or wherever else you listen, as we'll be having some preview episodes with hopefully the coaches, head coaches, both men's and women's teams at Millsaps, Belhaven, the W, Mississippi College, and Delta State in the coming weeks. Until next time, I'm JT Mitchell, and this has been From D2 to D3.
A Supertalk Mississippi Media Production.